Okay, it's praise time. Actually, it's a little bit past praise time. So who's has a praise to share this morning? Keith does.
I have two big praises. I've been praying for custody of Matt, and they decided that I need to come pick him up.
Awesome.
Wow.
Probably within the next week or so.
Think you'll be able to get off work?
Yeah.
I don't know. I got to talk to my boss, maybe.
All right. Amen. That's a good praise. You said there was another one?
There is another one. Jeanette Parker.
Yeah?
Lesson 3 and trust in you.
Trust of the Lord. Amen. That's awesome. Good job. Good job. Clarissa.
I got to visit with Susan, like my best friend from way back when. She lives really far now, and so it was really nice to visit with her and spend some time.
Good.
And also, my mom got married.
She did? Well, how about that?
22 years of engagement. They they're married. So now the praise for that is that now, like, when she asks me for advice, I can give it to her. You know, I can be more confident in my advice to her.
Yeah, amen. That's awesome. That's really cool. Who else?
I had a good week. I went and visited Karen Little in the hospital.
Yeah.
She was in a good mood, perky and everything. She was supposed to have surgery within the hour or the next day. Just something was wrong with her shoulder or something.
Now, this is not involving the lung this time.
Yeah, but she was doing really perky, you know. We had a good time together.
Yeah. That hospital food's been working good for her.
Yeah, she looked pretty good, man.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. Getting away from Charlie and Kenny for a little vacation probably helped, too. All right, who else? Yes, Denise.
I had an awesome week at work, which usually it's really stressful, but it went really well this week. And we're glad to be back after missing last week. We had a little incident with this one at the home.
Is she blaming it on you, Richard? Is that what she's...
So, yeah. So we're glad to be back.
Amen. Well, we're glad you're back, too. Very much so. Good to see Charlotte back again this week. That's two in a row now. That's good. That's cool. All right. Who else? Yes, Jan.
Our son came to visit us from Virginia, talking to my husband about going to the doctor because he's refused. But he relented after he came to the doctor the day before yesterday.
Yeah. I've learned by experience that if you get to hurting bad enough...
He wasn't bad. I've been real sick. I said, well, if you didn't, he took it. So I said, if you don't go, you're going to make me sick again. So that's why. But now he's got to take him to urgent care. But now he's consented to an appointment with a primary on Wednesday at 4:30 if he'll just go. Yeah. It's been years since he's been a doctor.
I've never known him to go to a doctor.
I had a couple of really good Bible classes this last week that are going real well. We haven't hit a lesson 3 yet, but we're fixing to. And it's going really well. Good to see Joshua back. We had a really good home team last Monday night, too. And had some good discussion going on. But it was nice to know during a home team that there was no one that was confused or had any misunderstandings concerning the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's nice to be in a church that knows what the gospel is and what it means and why it's important and willing to do whatever it takes to keep it going out there. And I'm proud of y'all for that. The reason I've got a film for you today I wanted to follow up on is the next thing we're going to look at here in Proverbs chapter 6. There's two illustrations the Lord uses to make a point. We're in that one subject that everybody seems to like the most, down in verse number 24. Verse 23, we learned, for the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life. You know, in Romans chapter 3, the Bible tells us that God's law, which is the commandments, he tells us that God's law is that which produces the knowledge of sin. He says, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. In other words, it lights it up so we can see what's really real and what's not. And it agrees right here, for the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light. The law doesn't save. It doesn't show you how to get to heaven. It doesn't have any redemption power whatsoever. But for by the law is the knowledge of sin, the Bible says. The law is given so that basically man will shut up about how good he is and realize that he is a sinner in need of a Savior. And that's what we just read about here in verse 23. And then he goes on, he says, one of the things the law does, as well as show us we're a sinner, he says, reproofs of instruction are the way of life. Speaking of the right way of life, the right way to go. And then, of course, he talks about to keep thee from the evil woman. And there's also some evil men that you need to be kept from, ladies. And he says, from the flattery of the tongue, the women aren't the only one that do that for sure, of the tongue of a strange woman, lust not after her beauty in thine heart, neither let her take thee with her eyelids. And of course, we talked about that. And we talked about, for by means of a whorish woman, a man is brought to a piece of bread, meaning that he's brought to poverty, very clearly. And the adulteress will hunt for the precious soul. And then we got down to verse 27, and that's where we stopped. That's what this movie is about today, this film here I want you to see. God says, can a man take fire in his bosom and his clothes not be burned? And it says, can one go upon hot coals and his feet not be burned? So, he that goeth into his neighbor's wife, whosoever toucheth her, shall not be innocent. God is using an illustration here about two things. One, holding fire up against your, you know, in your bosom, as it were. And how can you do that and your clothes not be burned? And then he says, can one go upon hot coals and his feet not be burned? Well, the obvious answer to that, the answer that is assumed by the Spirit of God who put this in the Bible, is that no, you can't walk on hot coals without burning your feet. Nor can you go into your neighbor's wife without consequences. So for thousands of years, literally, pagans have practiced the walking on hot coals in all kinds of different religions. They still do it today, and I wanted you to see, you know, how current all this is. So I'm going to play this for you. It's a few minutes long, and I forget exactly how long, but hopefully it won't be too long. I said I was going to play it, but...
Yeah, a lot of people calling me crazy back in the studio and back at my household, but we are going to do this to show you exactly how this works and sort of lift the veil, pull back the curtain on these motivational hot coal walks and debunk a little bit, myth versus reality. We do have the hot coals laid out here, and do not be fooled. You can probably see how hot this is with some of the orange embers still flaring up. I am going to walk over these hot coals live. Something I've never done before, and I'm incredibly nervous about, and you're going to share this experience with me. But I've also always wondered, probably a lot like you, what is this all about? Why would anyone do it? Is it really about spirituality this morning, or showing you everything?
Early this morning, 5 a.m., the experts lit the fire.
Oh, nice. It's going to be a great bed of coals here.
And laid out the burning walkway. We are working with a group called Life Courage. They hold these motivational seminars, which include firewalking.
I did the peace signs because it was helping me come over my fears.
This morning, insisting I spend an hour doing mental...
Yes, 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 yes!
...and physical exercises.
Yeah!
Wow. Saying it's the only way to have a safe firewalk. It's mind over matter.
Ready?
Ready!
Falling.
Falling!
Warning, if I'm not in the right mindset, I could be hurt. But firewalks like this have become controversial. Less than 2 weeks ago, famed motivational speaker Tony Robbins hosted a firewalk for thousands in Dallas. Dozens were injured.
The coals, they didn't do us very good tonight. We got burned.
A spokesperson for the event said 911 wasn't necessary, and only 5 of 7,000 participants requested any examination beyond what was readily available on site. So why do it? Firewalking experts say it's about transforming your life and conquering your fears. But some doctors say walking on hot coals is really about something else.
Mental preparation will not help you get across the water safely. It's pure physics. It's not mind over matter.
So what is the science? How does it work? First, they light a pile of wood on fire and let it burn down. The charcoal is hot, 1,000 degrees. But those coals are covered with a thin layer of ash. That's what your foot touches, and it's cooler than what's burning below, protecting your feet from the fire. And doctors say it's also the way you walk.
You want to step lightly, but walk briskly. When you run, you actually have more contact with your feet on the hot coals, and then you could risk having a burn.
It is good advice, as I am about to do this live. And just to point out to you, we're outside right now, but we're doing the actual walk inside of a tent because most of these fire walks happen at night. They mentally want you to be able to see the orange so you're not fooled with the daylight that it's just ash. I should point out to you, we have an ambulance on standby. We have paramedics ready to go in case something happens. And we are joined now by Tony Simons.
Hi.
Good to see you. Thanks for all of your help today. I do want to address what all the critics say, though, mm-hmm. that this is just hocus pocus, that this is a way to get people into these motivational seminars to pay money. And it's really got nothing to do with spirituality or mentalism. It's got to do with science, physics. That's it.
Right.
What do you say to that?
No problem. Of course it's physics. Everything's physics. Everything comes down to physics. There's a bunch of reasons why it can work. The reason why people do it is because it helps them stay focused. It gives people access to more courage, which is useful in life as you face a scary, daunting situation and you stay focused and relaxed and thoughtful in approaching that.
So what you're saying is it's a way for people to... What your position is, it's a way for people to go through life and say, I've walked through fire, I can handle whatever challenge.
Yeah, and it makes people realize how powerful they are. Now, as for the money, I don't do this for money. My day job is I'm a professor at Cornell University. I teach leadership, I research on integrity, and it pays way better than firewalking.
All right, let's get into
it. I do this because I love it.
All right, let's get into the firewalking right now, and you guys will all walk in with me. We're going inside the tent, and I will tell you, I'm incredibly nervous. We'll see how this works. And again, we've kept it pretty dark in here. If you guys can come with me, Bill. We've kept it pretty dark in here, and there's a group in the back. Get any final words here. How should I walk?
Yeah, okay. I want you to walk with your palms up.
Okay.
I want you to unclench your bottom.
Okay.
Stay loose. Breathe deep. And when the group is going to start chanting, and I want you to listen to the song of the group, I want you to imagine the song carrying you safely through the fire.
What is it going to feel like when I first walk on it?
It might feel like you're stepping onto a bed of popcorn. It might feel hot. In either case, I want you to stay focused. I want you to stay relaxed.
Okay, here we go.
Yes, yes.
Okay. Yes. Oh, it's hot. Yes. Oh, it's hot. Yes. 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 Wow. It feels really hot, but I have no... My feet, I'm pretty gross for morning TV, but my feet are black, but I don't have any blisters. It was incredibly hot, though. I did it, guys.
Wow.
Okay. Let me tell you something, too, about how it works.
I don't feel...
No pain, Jeff?
I'm okay.
Yeah.
No need for the
right,
Jeff, ask the expert, can you reclench your bottom now?
Somebody had to say that, didn't they? Yes. This has been going on, and you got to ask yourself, why would anybody do this? And then who would even think of doing this? Where would it come from? Now, you got to realize that this has been going on with Eastern religions of different sorts, and not Christianity, of course, or Judaism. And they're both one and the same, by the way, if you actually realize that. But why do you think people are doing this stuff? Why do you think it was part of many religious rituals in the past? Why would that be?
The paganistic beliefs.
Well, where would they come from?
They take the word and misconstrue it to something that they think that it's...
What word?
The Bible. They take different parts of the Bible and they...
Is there any part of the Bible that says a spiritual gift is walking on fire?
No. That's what I'm saying. They just take different things and...
All right, Michael, what do you think?
Could it be that it gives them some sense of
control over things that...
That's what the Robbins and the other motivational people are touting that it does.
I mean, it gives you...
I think there's a...
How to articulate my thought, so...
All right. Anybody else have a thought on this? Come on now.
It shows that you have the power and not God.
God says this, okay, can a man take fire in his bosom and his clothes not be burned? Well, if you had some asbestos clothes, or if you had water-soaked clothes and could do it quick enough, or if you could, you know, I mean, obviously there are ways to do things that no normal person would do, but would if no normal person would take a load of wood on fire and hold it up in their arms and do that. Nobody would do that. Can one go upon hot coals and his feet not be burned? What is the obvious answer to the scripture in the scripture? The obvious answer is, and the whole reason for the illustration in the scripture is to point out no. And what he is stating here, he says, let me reverse this teaching from the backside and come back through it the other way. First it says, can a man take fire in his bosom and his clothes not be burned? Can one go upon hot coals and his feet not be burned? So he that goeth in to his neighbor's wife, whosoever toucheth her shall not be innocent. So, if a man goes into his neighbor's wife, and he can walk on hot coals, and he can take fire in his bosom and not be burned, do you understand what's going on here? Tell him what's going on.
It's a way of contesting what the Bible says. It's showing you that there is no consequence for your actions.
They're trying to make God out to be a liar. That's where it came from, that's where it has begun, and that's where it still is today.
They're not walking on hot coals anyway. Mm-hmm. They're walking on ash.
Right.
Yeah, but it sure appears that they're walking on hot coals, and it sure appears that they're getting away with no consequences. There were five or six that walked too slow, or that went too fast and walked in the footsteps of those that knocked the ashes out, by the way. But the point is very simple here. It's Satan doing what Satan's always done. I mean, if you attend an event like this and, you know, you had your eye on your neighbor's wife, and it says here, well, if you could walk on hot coals, then you might get away with... That's what's being said here in the scriptures. They're trying to make God out a liar. They're trying to say that you can sin without consequences. That's what's being taught here. This was in the Bible before people started doing this. So where did the idea come from? The idea came from this illustration from Scripture. And the illustration's a good illustration. It's God's Word. It has to be a good illustration. How many of you would just go walk on hot coals for the kick of it? Or just, who's going to do that?
Not me.
Not me. Oh, no.
I hate being hurt.
But if you were the enemy of God and you wanted to try to disprove His Word.
Make an illusion it can happen.
Yeah, you've got a perfect opportunity here to fool a bunch of people. And then when the preacher or their Sunday school teacher gets in Proverbs and reads this passage of Scripture, and they're thinking, well, okay, I guess you actually can do it. So, do you understand how subtle this is? Satan does this stuff all the time. What did he do in the garden? Okay. Did he tell Eve, well, you can eat the fruit. It won't hurt you.
Surely you will not die.
And he was probably sitting there chewing on a piece of the fruit while he's saying this. He was giving her half-truths. He was questioning God's word, whether it was really or right or not. And through subtlety, tricked her into doing it. If you don't believe the word of God, that it's true, that it's logical, that it's correct, that the principles are all there, and they're all real principles that are timeless... If you're not sure about the Bible and you don't really believe the Bible's God's Word, can you be saved?
No.
Why?
Something you're not sure of.
Because if you don't believe the Bible, you can't believe the gospel.
Because the only way we have known about Jesus is in the Bible. So if you're not sure about the Bible, how could you possibly be sure about Jesus? And the Bible teaches that you don't just pray a prayer and it counts as your righteousness. The Bible teaches that we must put our trust in Him. And you can't trust in what you don't believe. You might want to, you just can't do it. It's not how we work. So we've got a perfect example of satanic subtlety with what men are doing with this little bitty obscure one verse of scripture here. It's hard not to remember that verse, by the way. Any of you that's read through your Bible have that verse come to mind as you were watching this? It comes to mind pretty quick. Joshua, do you have your hand up or are you just stretching?
I actually didn't even know that verse was in the Bible. I haven't ever read the Bible all the way through and through. But I find it odd, I've watched several of these, I find it odd that you never hear them ever mention the Bible or that it came from the Bible.
Oh, no.
They never once mention it.
No. They're not going to admit what it's really about, because if they did, they would, then we'd all know, and the cat would be out of the proverbial bag, so to speak. This isn't about walking on hot coals. This is about getting away with adultery. And there are going to be consequences. There's always forgiveness if a person, you know, turns to the Lord. But the consequences are always going to be there. However severe, God's mercy can certainly lessen them and does very often. But they're always going to be there. So, any questions or comments on our little adventure here into firewalking? Yes, Keith.
This is kind of like evolution, how they're trying to attack Genesis and the creation.
Yeah. You know, you either demonstrate it or you repeat it or whatever often enough. And then there people will just believe it because it's, well, everybody knows that because da-da-da-da-da. Haven't you heard that, you know, just like everybody knows there's mistakes in the Bible, everybody knows there's contradictions in the Bible. Did you ever hear that? Well, of course you have. Have you ever heard that everybody knows it?
Amy's in the evolution stuff right now, studying it in her schoolwork, and she's calling me, Grammy, this makes no sense. This is saying blah, 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 and you've said blah, 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 blah. I said, yeah, just do your work and don't worry about it. That's what I told her. I said, you know the truth, but they're going to teach what they're going to teach. You have to.
Well, I frankly would fail that class.
Well, thank God it's not online and she doesn't stand up there and argue with them, because she would.
Well, hey, maybe somebody needs to.
It just gets you in more trouble.
So?
Our kids did. Leslie Jr. did.
What happened when Peter stood up and argued with them? And what happened when Paul stood up and argued with them? And Silas? They put him in prison. And how did it affect them? It says they counted it joy to be worthy to suffer for his sake, for his name's sake. We don't do a whole lot of suffering nowadays. It might be a better world if we were willing to do a little more suffering. You have to decide what you're going to do and what you're not going to do on your own. I don't know whether it's going to be very good or not. Very few people ever say anything to me about evolution or believing this or believing that, because they kind of know better than to do it. They will talk to you about it, but they're not very willing to come talk to me about it.
It's so hard to understand how people would even believe that. Just like when I was reading the stuff that she is having to do and everything, I was like, you're right, it makes no sense for anybody to even try to believe something like that.
Well, the Bible tells you exactly why they believe this. Same reason they believe this, same reason they believe all the other stuff, is because that the God of this world has blinded their eyes, spiritually he's talking about, lest they should receive the gospel and be saved.
But they can't even make sense of it. That's the whole thing. They can't even make sense of it.
Did you ever try to describe what something looked like to a blind person that's never been able to see? What do you have to compare it to? How could you do it? When lost people are blinded, you say, well, why would God allow them to be blinded? That's a good question, isn't it? Well, answer it. Why would God allow people to be blinded to the truth of the gospel, to be blinded to the truth of cross-species evolution is what we're talking about.
Yeah, that's what she's doing there, man.
A cell becoming something else and it becoming something else, and a fish becoming a frog and a frog becoming a whatever, changing species, cross-species evolution. There is evolution within species, and it's microevolution and all the way up the chain. Everything evolves to fit its environment. And it's something that God put in us to be able to do that. It was part of creation that we would be able to do that. But cross-species evolution and what is taught that we came from lower species is totally false. Why is it that people who don't know the Lord can't see that?
I don't know if it's the answer you're looking for, but it kind of reminds me of how it talks about how God darkened Pharaoh's heart and... Again, I don't know if it's the answer you're looking for, but God does everything he does for his glory.
That's exactly right. And it's not just Pharaoh. It's the human race. Go to Romans chapter 1. We've got a good lesson to learn right here. This is Paul in 16 and 17 talking about the gospel. And of course, we had a lot to say about the gospel last week here. It's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein, in the gospel, is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. In other words, from faith in the Lord to save us, to faith in the Lord for every aspect of life. From the initial faith to greater and greater and greater faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. And then he talks about the wrath of God. Do you think blindness would be part of the wrath of God? It's sure not a blessing, is it? For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. What's that mean, that they hold the truth?
They could hear the truth and don't believe it.
They have the knowledge of the truth. They've heard it. They've seen it. But they're denying it. Because that which may be known of God is manifest or revealed or shown in them. For God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen. Somebody explain that phrase.
It's obvious that there's a God if you just look around you.
from seeing creation, we see the invisible power of God in action because of creation. Everything that is involved in creation is by design, and you can see the design. You can see the seed goes in the ground. You can store seed in a dry place for 100 years. They've taken seeds out of the tombs and planted them, and they grow. They come alive. And so that's a design. Who could possibly come up with an explanation for that except that there had to be a designer that did that? I remember when I was still lost, I was about 25, 26 years old, and I went to an insurance positive seminar. It was like the Tony Robbins thing, a positive mental attitude seminar. You can do it type deal. Only this guy, I don't know if he was a for sure Christian or not, but he sure enough did believe in God. And he picked up a flower out of a vase. And he looked at that flower and he said, "Isn't this beautiful?" He said, "Is there anybody in here that can make one of these?" And of course, nobody, you know, it was silent. He said, well, somebody made it. Something made it. It's here." And he said, "Whatever else you may believe, one thing you better understand, and that is God is." Now, you may not know what he is or who he is or how he is, but you better understand one thing. He is. Somebody did this. It kind of stuck with me. You know, later, when I was 26 and someone brought me the gospel, I didn't have any trouble believing that God was and is. But, yeah, Michael, go ahead.
Did you see the movie God's Not Dead?
Yeah.
The line in that movie about evolution, So who in your family is the eight?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, there you go.
Is she your great-grandmother?
Why do they not still change to that? That's what I told the 80.
Well, you know, all said, well, it takes millions of years to do that, you know. Well, that's interesting because the world's only existed for 6,000 or so years, maybe a little more. Go ahead.
Maybe the Big Bang did occur. God spoke and...
Bang. It happened. Actually, he didn't. It had to be a big bang because there was at least six of them.
Right. That's what Jordan was saying the other day about the light.
Yeah, there were six big bangs at least, one a day for 6 days before it all got done. But the wrath of God is revealed against those who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because, here's why. I said, why would God do that? Well, here's why. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. Now, that doesn't mean the things that are made understand it. That means that you understand that God is there because of the things that are made. That make sense to you? That's what that verbiage is meaning. Even his eternal power and Godhead. How much about God can you understand from viewing creation? Even his eternal power and Godhead. There has to be a God, and he has to be awful powerful. That creation teaches you that much, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was what?
Dark.
There's the blindness.
Dark.
The scripture reading I was looking at is the very next scripture. I was already looking at that before you.
Yeah. There's the blindness. Well, you Christians are just a bunch of idiots. We have the degrees. We are the PhDs. We are the wise ones. And professing themselves to be wise, they became
fools.
What's the definition of a fool? Primary definition, it's a big definition, but the primary one that says there is no God. And change the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. It's interesting that the very first thing that men do and that men did as their heart was darkened, in other words, as the blindness was given to them, placed upon them, they changed the glory of the uncorruptible God. They were willing to acknowledge some kind of a God, but not the real one. And they changed the image of God into an image made like to corruptible man. Now, give me some examples of that.
Zeus,
Greek mythology.
Shiva and all the
Yeah, the Hindu critter gods. I forget how many thousands of different gods they're supposed to have. But they all look like weird little critters. They got elephant snouts and multi-arms and names for each and every one of them. And like to corruptible man. And to birds. Where have you seen bird gods? Aztecs, you see one at the top of every totem pole in Native America. Don't you? The Great Spirit. Now, I know nobody likes to think of the Great Spirit as an idol, being worshipped as an idol, but that's exactly what it is. It's right here. To birds and to four-footed beasts. Cows in India. Yeah. And creeping things. That list of critter gods would certainly find a bunch of creeping things in there. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up into vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despisable, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Once that blindness takes over, it only goes down from there. It just gets worse and worse and worse and worse. Why does God allow it, the blindness? Because it is the natural consequence of rejecting the Lord. It allows sin to take over and run its course. Now, can people who are blinded be saved?
Yes.
You bet they can. The light of the glorious gospel, the power of God unto salvation, the drawing of the Lord. All the time, all the while this is being done, God is still drawing. He's still showing himself. You can call it what you want to call it. It does not fit the definition of predestination. But God does know who will be saved and who won't. He does know who will trust him and who won't. And he can't help himself, so don't blame him. He can't help being God. You know, he's just going to be God no matter what else you think, and he's not going to be judged by us. But he does act upon his foreknowledge. And those that he knows will respond, he keeps sending them light, regardless of what they're involved in. He keeps sending them light because he knows who will receive it and who won't. He does. You can claim, well, you think that's predestination or what, but it is not. All it is God responding to what he already knows is in that person's future, that person's willing. You do have a will. You do have a choice. And God knows who will make that choice and who won't. And he acts on that. Don't get the idea that because somebody is lost, they have to stay that way, because everybody who's lost is blinded until the gospel wipes that blindness away.
Amen.
The gospel is the light,
yeah,
that wipes the blindness away. My, what it has done for each of us. Amen?
Amen.
So, back to our list here, chapter 6. We've got the firewalking attempt to make God out a liar. Of course, it does not work. We understand what God's trying to tell us here. And nobody's going to tell us that, well, we can walk on fire, so therefore it's not sin for us to do whatever we feel like doing. No, it's sin. You just walk a little slower on that fire and see how you do. Put a fan down there and blow some of those ashes away and see how you do. Verse 30 says, men do not despise a thief if he steal to satisfy his soul when he's hungry. Does that mean it's okay to steal if you're hungry?
No.
No, it doesn't. But if he be found, he shall restore sevenfold. He shall give all the substance of his house. But whoso committeth adultery with a woman lacketh understanding. And ladies, you can reverse this to the gender on this, and it's still going to come out the same. And he that doeth it destroyeth his own soul. A wound and dishonor shall he get, and his reproach shall not be wiped away. For jealousy is the rage of a man. Therefore he will not spare in the day of vengeance. He will not regard any ransom, neither will he rest content, though thou givest many gifts. How many men have died because they messed with another man's wife?
Thousands.
Well, I don't know what that answer is, but I know it's not one or two. there are issues here that God's dealing with, and there are consequences. And you'll find great men of God that committed these acts. The most famous, of course, is King David. And did David suffer the consequences of that action?
Yes.
He sure did. But the one thing that is not a consequence of any sin, and that is going to hell. You cannot go to hell because of your sin. You can only go to hell because of unbelief in Jesus Christ, because of rejecting the payment for your sin. Nothing you do is going to send you to hell. Only something you don't can get that done. That make sense to you? All right. Any questions or comments on this video lesson of the day? Yes, Valerie.
He played how they what polygamy.
Explain polygamy at the end of class when it's prayer time? Well, you must think I'm good. No, I can't. Well, will you ask the question when we start next week? Okay, you do that, and I'll give it my best shot. How's that? Yeah, multiple wives. We'd have to go back a ways to see where that started. I know Jacob ended up with one. There's a moral to the story. Here's a rule to go by, okay? Never spend your wedding night in the dark.
Yep.
Never spend your wedding night in the dark. And we'll figure out what that means next week. Some of you don't have a clue what I'm talking about, but I'll show you next week in the scriptures. Well, that's a good homework assignment, by the way. See if you can answer that question, why you should never spend your wedding night in the dark. See if you can answer that question next week when we come back.
Get any hints of where to look?
Yeah, Genesis. It'll be in the book of Genesis.